Hello, everybody. So welcome to lecture three. And today we're talking about sociocultural forces. So this is a lecture where we're going to start with the question, what is culture? And it's so funny that this is our opening question because I was actually having this discussion with a friend of mine recently who asked me this very question, what is culture? And I gave him a very textbook answer, and I'm going to give you a very textbook answer. But in thinking about culture, I just want you to pause for a second, and I'm going to go silent. And I just want you to pause for a second and think about what you think culture is. So I'm going to go silent for a second, and you think about what you think culture is. Okay. So some of you may have thought of your culture and your family. Some of you may have thought of your national culture. Some of you may have had other conceptions of culture. But let's start with a definition. And this is, again, a formal definition, and certainly it's one that is all-encompassing and means different things to different people. But culture is a belief, rules, techniques, and artifacts that characterize a population. For example, culturally, Americans are known generally for valuing independence and freedom. And that's a cultural standard of the United States generally. I mean, obviously, there are exceptions to that. But generally, Americans value things like independence and freedom. Culture is learned. It's interrelated, and there are shared patterns that are constructed through social interactions that define the boundaries of the group. So an example of this in my office is that there is a cultural expectation that's learned and that's shared that people greet each other in emails. So they don't just say, I need that report by 5 p.m. It's greetings, John. I hope you had a wonderful weekend. Would it be possible to get me a report by 5 p.m.? So these are the cultural values that are important to our workplace, and those are shared. And remember that culture is, it could be workplace related, obviously family related, religiously related, it can be country related, it can be within certain socioeconomic groups and structures. There's cultural rules that are at play there. So culture is something that's ever present in and across different groups. So in thinking about culture as an international manager or leader, one of the things that we have to think about is the importance of learning the language and learning the culture for which you're going to operate. So having that experience is critical. So I am going to Rome, specifically the Vatican City, in a few months, and then I will be following on my trip to Nepal to go to the Mount Everest and some of the other Himalaya, and I will be walking around and interacting with individuals in those two countries. And one of the things that I need to keep in mind when I go is that I need to understand the language, I need to understand the cultural norms, I need to learn what is acceptable and what is not acceptable, because the last thing I want to do is offend somebody when I'm there. Now, I am going as a tourist. I will be doing some volunteer work and some work and some things like that, but I'm going primarily as a tourist. I'm not going as a business person. But imagine if I was going representing, we talked about Coca-Cola last time, we're talking about Lego in this time. Imagine if I went and I represented Lego. And as Lego, I had this potential for a $100 million deal with Lego in Italy, and I went and I broke a cultural norm or a cultural value, or I did something that wasn't appropriate. Well, that would affect the entire business, and that would affect the potential for $100 million. So it's incumbent upon international business managers and leaders to understand the culture and ensure that their people understand the culture as well. So you may be asking, how does culture impact business? And remember that culture impacts and affects all business functions. For example, in marketing, different attitudes will require individuals to market their message to different groups differently. You would market a product to a very conservative market differently than you would to a more liberal country, depending on the product, depending on the needs, those kind of things. So examples of that is also making sure that your message is spot on and that you understand the language and the cultural nuances. So I have a couple of funny examples of that. Kentucky Fried Chicken. Who is known throughout North America as somebody who sells fried chicken, and their slogan is finger licking good. They ran a campaign in China, and the message was wrongly translated to say, eat your fingers off. So you can imagine that marketing campaign did not go very well. So understanding how to translate messages correctly that will resonate with your audience is critically important. In human resources, you got to think about the reward structure. Is the culture that rewards a group or an individual? How is authority understood? Is the boss allowed to be challenged, or does the structure not allow for that? Is the company hierarchical? Is it more flat? Is it allow you to make comments, bring up concerns, do those kind of things, or are you in an environment where it's very isolated and that may not work for certain people in certain cultures? For instance, I prefer collaboration. I prefer working together with people. So if I was in an organizational culture or in a country that did not value those kind of things, then I probably would not be a good fit. Accounting and understanding controls, how your controls are, says something about people. So if you have very, very, very tight accounting controls, for example, needing a doctor's note to have a certain diet and get reimbursed for that diet, would indicate a lack of trust. Where loose controls assumes that a person will act honestly, that's a cultural thing as well. And leadership styles will also vary by region. So you hear a lot of, especially in faith-based companies and those kind of things, you hear the term servant leadership a lot. And what does a servant leader mean, and what does a values-based leader mean? And those kind of things may work in certain cultural settings, but may not be applicable to other cultural settings. So that's something to keep in mind as well, is that leadership and culture and all these things work together. So how does culture show itself? So how is culture relevant? You can see culture in aesthetic, art, drama, and the like. I think that if you want to understand, a lot of people have talked about this, that if they wanted to understand American culture, then they learned it by watching the films. So certainly watching films gives you an idea, or looking at the arts, or looking at pictures, or looking at music, or those kind of things gives you an idea of listening to music, I guess, gives you an idea of what the culture is all about, what the culture is like. Religion. So cultural anthropologists study religion and say it's responsible for most of the attitudes and beliefs that influence human behavior within an organization and within a country. So understanding the tenets of the religion is helpful. If you owned a burger shop and only sold beef burgers, you would have trouble in certain parts of the world may practice the term himsa, which is do no harm, and that may lead people to make food choices that are not ahimsa, make food choices that would not make your burger shop very successful. Communication is one of the biggest distinctions and distancing of a culture, so it's important to understand nonverbal communication as well as verbal communication. So as an American, first time I was in the Middle East, I had to understand the sign of friendship and what it meant for two gentlemen that were to walk down the street holding hands, and what that meant for friendship, or why there were certain other behaviors that existed. That's something that I had to understand, and also understand the proximity between people as well. And just because somebody is right here, it is not a threat. That is just a one. That's just a sign of closeness and those kind of things. And that's something that I had to learn as I traveled around the world and as I travel around the world. And that's certainly something that, as I prepare for my Rome trip and prepare for my Nepal trip, that's something that I'm going to have to understand and learn from as well. So communication, societal organizing is important as well. So if you think about this, think about the role of the extended family. Obviously, if you were selling a product and you're trying to sell a product in Latin America, or in South America or in Central America, and your product ad makes fun of, let's say, a relative living with you, that probably will not be received well in certain cultures. Where in the United States, we kind of laugh about it. In certain parts of the United States and certain aspects of the United States, we certainly laugh about those kind of things. In other parts of the country, that is taken very seriously, and it's an obligation and duty. So understanding those kind of things is very important. Gift giving is something that's misunderstood internationally, and understanding the role of exchanging gifts, when gifts are appropriate, what gifts are appropriate, what it means, like do you have to reciprocate, those kind of things is important as well. Those are some all, that's a lot, huh? That's a lot that an international business that is operating needs to understand. They need to understand all those things as a company and what those mean and what the implications of that is. So there are some different frameworks for understanding culture. And I want to go through them extremely fast. You know, I'm trying to introduce terms, introduce roles, introduce ideas and concepts and thoughts, but certainly not get into a lot of depth because there's a lot of material to cover over these 12 lectures. So I just want to introduce ideas, and then some ideas I will focus on in greater detail, and other ideas I will kind of define a term for you to do some research and looking as well. So we'll talk about a couple of these frameworks, but we're really going to focus on Gert Hofstede and Hofstede's Cultural Dimensions framework that we will spend some time on. But Hall, the researcher named Hall, has a theory based on the concept of high and low context. So high context is countries like China, Japan, some African cultures, and Latin America. And communication is often formed by long-standing social ties, and communication is implicit and indirect, generally. In high context, like the United States, the context is very important and communication is treated this way. So in high context, communication and context is very important. In low context cultures like the United States, communication is carried out in words. And social ties are a shorter duration and communication is explicit. And I think that's something that you all can see. Certainly if you live in the United States, then you understand that concept well. That social ties and those kind of things are not as important as they are in other places around the world. So I'm going to have trouble pronouncing these names. I do every time, but I think the concept is important. Kluckhohen and Strodenbeck, they built off of Hall's work, and what they said was that they had a cultural orientations framework. So there's a classification system for their framework that's based on five different problems. So these problems are, what relationships should people have with nature? What sort of relationships exist among people? What is the preferred modes of human activity? What is the best way to think about time? And what is the basic nature of humans? So they took Hall's work of high and low context, and then they said, well, it's within the frame of these problems and these concepts. So along came Gerrit Hofstede. And Hofstede said that there are six dimensions, and these six dimensions have been affirmed. That there's been tons of research on Hofstede's work, including the Globe study, which some of the prevalent researchers in that study are, you'll hear the name Hals, Javidan, which we'll actually talk about Javidan later. But you'll hear people like Javidan or Hals or Dorfman who have done work with Hofstede's dimensions. So what Hofstede says is that there's this concept, there's these six dimensions that most cultures, and you can break down by country, prescribe to. So one is individualism and collectivism. So that's the degree in which people are integrated in a group. So in the United States, we tend to be more individualistic. We're not as integrated in groups as, say, China is, who tends to be a more collectivist culture. Power distance is about how power is distributed. So in some cultures, it's perfectly acceptable for there to be social classes, where in others, there is not. So another way to ask this question is, to what degree is your country or your culture, in this case country, if we're talking about the Globe study, what ways is your society okay with inequity? So is inequity okay, or is inequity skewed? Uncertainty avoidance is how comfortable a society is with uncertainty. So there are countries that are certainly okay with unstructured situations, and I think we can think of a few of those, where there are some that require a high degree of structure and of certainty. Masculinity and femininity is another Hofstede dimension, and that's the role between the sexes. So assertiveness is considered generally a male function, and caring is considered a feminine feature. So this describes the gap in general. So for instance, Japan is considered a very masculine-driven society, according to Hofstede and the researchers that I mentioned, Hals and Javidan, Dorfman, and them. Indulgence versus restraint. So what this says, this is actually a newer dimension, and what this says is how much of a society indulges versus showing restraint. So if you are in the United States, I'm sure you know this, that we tend to be a very indulgent society. And then the final dimension is pragmatic versus normative. And that's how people deal with events in their lives. So in Venezuela, for example, there's a strong desire to know and understand and explain the truth. So Venezuela is a very pragmatic society. The final one is... These names I struggle with, so please forgive me. Look up their theories and pronounce them correctly on behalf of me, please. I would appreciate that. Trompenaar is the final cultural theory, and his framework is similar to Hofstede, that it looks at data and makes data-driven decisions, but it's different in that it looks at observable behavior. So I'm not going to go through all these. I'm just going to give you one or two. So attitudes toward time, for instance, and the question is, where is the primary focus? Is it on the past? Is it on the present? Is it on the future? So East Asian countries tend to be past focused, where the U.S. tends to be present focused, and some EU, it tends to be future focused. So if you think about economic development, that is one way to consider that. So EU would be future focused, US tends to be present focused, and and Asia seems to be past focus. And you can see that through some of the policies that exist and some of the cultural frameworks that exist as well. Javanan, as I mentioned earlier, he is one of my research heroes. I've seen him talk a couple times. He is was at a school in Arizona, and he did a lot of work on the globe study, as I discussed, but now he works on the global mindset. You can Google his work. If you look up global mindset, you will find a bunch of stuff on it. In fact, I will go ahead and see if I can find that real quick, just because I think it's good to show. Here we go. So if you wanted to see his work, you can go to... You can go to globalmindset.info, and you will see the work that they do around global mindset. Skip Bowen is a founder, but Mansoor Javedan has done a lot of work in this area as well. You have that, and then there's other ones as well, like the IMD. Talks about global mindset as well. So I would encourage you to go and do a little research on the global mindset, and specifically Javedan, who is at a school in Arizona. So coming back to this, so what does the global mindset say? So this is a mindset that deals with complexity. And what this says is, you have to map the cultural differences, and you have to seek to understand them. So you got to build those gaps and understand them, and then you got to seek to do research and things like that, and integrate those gaps to make you have a global mindset and make you be successful. So let's talk about my trip to the Vatican City in Rome and Nepal. That will be upcoming. And I need to map the differences between my cultural understandings and the cultural understandings of Italy and of Nepal. And then once I understand those cultural differences, then I need to seek out and find ways to bridge those gaps. I have not begun that research yet, but certainly that's something that I need to do in order for me to develop a global mindset. I need to assimilate some of the cultural beliefs and practices that I believe in into their culture as well, not violating my own norms and practices, to make sure that I can communicate effectively. Again, when you're talking about business deals, this is critically important, and it's not any less important when you're talking about cultural situations and social situations and vacation and things like that. But certainly when you're talking about business, you have to understand the cultural nuance and be able to address those. So let's talk about the bottom line. And the bottom line is, in business, doing your homework on where you are going and your approach for that foreign market is critical. Establishing trust, slowing down, understanding language, respecting the cultural values of a country, and understanding the components of that cultural will be important to having a successful enterprise. If I were to go today and just start a business in Nepal without understanding the culture, the business would probably fail. But if I slow down and I take the time to really understand what they're doing and what the cultural practices are, and I make sure that my business is set up to not offend but to integrate within those cultural practices, then I can have a successful company. One of the things to think about, and you hear this if you talk to people that have done a lot of business in Japan, is that it takes time, practice, and work to develop these kind of relationships in countries and cultures. You can't go into Japan today cold and expect to start a deal, because relationships are so important to the Japanese culture. So, you know, they need to get to know you. They need to develop a relationship. And often that takes a lot of time and a lot of investment, a lot of resources to make that happen. And that is okay. And we just need to realize that and recognize that and be able to realize what the cultural needs are of where we're going to operate. So as promised, we talk about an international company, and today I picked one of my favorite international companies, which I have already told you about, and that would be Lego. So Lego, for those of you that don't know, Lego is little blocks that you can make things, or you can buy things like, if you've ever seen the TV show Seinfeld, they are doing a Seinfeld one. They obviously have R2-D2. For those that may be looking for flowers for a special somebody, you could do a bouquet. Isn't this appropriate for this class, the world map? And then, obviously they have other ones as well. So sneakers, flower bouquets, all that. So let's learn a little bit about the company. Let's explore a little bit. And we can do that. We can do that by looking at one thing, and we discussed this with Coca-Cola, but they have incredible sustainable practices. They believe in three areas: children, where they give learning to 8 million children a year. They're going to phase out plastic in the use of their boxes by 2025, and they have a very inclusive workplace. So they're big in diversity and diversity initiatives. Here are some of the things that they are. Here are some of the things that they are doing. So you can see those. And again, when we're talking about these international companies and these international businesses, working in the local community is critical. So one of the other things that I want to show you is the management. And again, just I love this picture. Just like with our friends at Coca-Cola, you can see that it is a very, very, very diverse group that's international. This is not a U.S.-based company, but you can see that they have a chief financial officer, their chief product officer, and then under each of these are people who support this team. And you can see here, I picked her on purpose. Julia has an MBA in international marketing and finance from Chicago. So you can see that they obviously, as an international company, value international perspective. So there you go. So I just wanted you to see some about Lego. I would encourage you to go here, and I would encourage you to... I've always loved this picture. I wanted to show it in class. I encourage you to go to this website and to check them out and to spend some time looking at this international business and kind of how they do things. So before we go into lecture number 4, which is sustainability, we're going to do what we always do, and we're going to take a moment to pray. So please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we come to you and we thank you for the individuals that are watching this lecture and for this class and just everything that we're learning through Christian Leaders. Lord, what an awesome organization. And you are, your work is happening through them, Lord. And just want to take a moment to just acknowledge and pray for every single member of the team, for all the students, for the alumni, for the staff, for everybody that works together to do your kingdom work, Lord. Just want to thank you for them. Lord, as we transition to sustainability in our next lecture, let's remember that we are all your people, that everybody is your child, and that you have given us the innate ability to understand each other, to work together, and to love each other, Lord. And I pray that we will not forget that as we think about and assimilate some of the things we learned about, both from Hofstede and the global mindset. from Jabadon and the other material that we learned about in this lecture regarding culture and what culture is. I pray that you'll bless this class, you'll bless each individual looking at this lecture, and pray that what they're learning will be a blessing, and that they will be able to use it to do kingdom work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, and I will see you back here for lecture 4, which will be on sustainability. So have a great day.